There is unbelievable depth of meaning within each of the seven annual holy days. These days walk us through God's plan of redemption for mankind and teach us about man's potential in becoming part of the God family. This is God's purpose for mankind, so it is quite significant and meaningful that within each of these days we are commanded to give an offering. Again, while the offerings are commanded, the precise amount that we are to give is left to us. It's not the sacrifice amount. What we are to sacrifice is not given. That leaves the decision up to our own free will. The purpose that God is accomplishing within these holy days and the offerings is not limited to a single point or a single lesson. God never has just a small point within these days. He has a vast depth of lessons, of truth in each of these days for us, in each of these significant events. That said, the aspect of these offerings that I would like to focus in on today is to emphasize what they reveal, what these offerings reveal about our hearts. Let's turn to Proverbs 27 and verse 19. Proverbs 27 and verse 19 states, "As in water, faith answereth faith, so the heart of man to man." In alternate translations, it says, "In water, faith reflects the faith, and so the heart of man is reflected in the life of man." In other words, you could see a man's life and you know what's in his heart. It's a direct reflection. Next, let's turn to Jeremiah 17, verses 9 and 10. Jeremiah chapter 17, and starting in verse 9. "The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart, I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings." Considering this scripture in the light of the Day of Atonement, it's quite significant. Where did this deceitful heart come from that is within man? That began, of course, in the Garden of Eden, when the serpent beguiled Adam and Eve and ultimately led to the fall of man. They rejected the knowledge of God and started down the 6,000-year path under the evil rule of Satan. That has led to the deceitful nature of man, his heart, that has led to that wickedness that's inherent within human nature. Second thing to consider about the scripture is God is a just God. As it mentions that God will give to man according to his ways, he will do the same with Satan the devil. This day foretells the time when ultimately the cause of sin, the one true cause, Satan the devil, will be revealed to the world and will be removed, no longer able to deceive the nations. This will allow a massive change of all humanity, allowing the hearts of men to have this deceit removed and being finally opened to be able to receive the truth of God. As members of God's church, we must now overcome Satan within this world. We must have this change of heart in this age. Through our calling and the receiving of God's Holy Spirit, if we yield to God, then we can allow Jesus Christ to live through us. Being subject to our carnal nature and having our free moral agency means that we are not assured success. But through diligence in prayer, study, meditation, using tools like fasting, and yielding in all ways to God, then God can work with us, and he will increase his spirit within us. So again, how does this affect our offerings? How do our offerings that we are giving today factor into this? How are they reflected in our heart? Let's turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 29, and you can note verses 1 through 20. I won't read the entirety of those verses. So 1 Chronicles chapter 29, Now, this is the time prior to Solomon beginning to reign as king and David's end of King David's life. And he had a strong desire to serve God in building the temple, but he was not allowed to. King David was not allowed to build the temple because of his life and because of the sins that he committed. But he was able to make plans, and he was able to prepare materials such as gold and silver, bronze, and very valuable things. In preparation for the temple, King David led Israel to make these preparations. Additionally, he also sacrificed of his own wealth, leading as an example in providing a free will offering. Let's start in 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 3. Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of mine own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God, over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house. So again, he sacrificed of his own possessions in addition to what he prepared as ruler of the government. Verse 5, the gold for things of gold and the silver for things of silver, and for all manner of work to be made by the hands of the artificers. And who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? So he's calling out to Israel. Who is going to serve? Who has a willing heart? Verse 9. Then the people rejoiced, for that they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And King David the king also rejoiced with great joy. So again, he called out to Israel, and they answered the call. They offered willingly. They gave of their hearts in dedication to God for the building of his temple. Continuing in verse 14, but who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. So this is a very much a statement of humility. And we could ask ourselves the same things. We're here on the Day of Atonement. Who are we that we're able to understand the purpose that God has laid out for mankind? Who are we that we're able to come before him today and to come not empty-handed, but to be able to give him, the creator of heaven and earth, the designer of this whole world, the designer of our bodies, the designer of the potential that we have? Who are we that we're able to give an offering to that being? Verse 16 through 19, O Lord our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee an house for thine holy name cometh of thine hand and is all thine own. Again, acknowledging that anything they had came from God. They weren't able to give anything that he hadn't in turn shared with them. Verse 17, I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart and hast pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of mine heart, I have willingly offered all these things. And now have I seen with joy thy people, which are present here, to offer willingly unto thee. So both David and his people and Israel were willingly and joyfully giving to God. Verse 18 and 19, O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in the imagination of the thoughts of the heart of thy people, and prepare their heart unto thee. And give unto Solomon, my son, a perfect heart to keep thy commandments, thy testimonies, and thy statutes, and to do all these things, and to build the palace for the which I have made provision. Again, we're given this opportunity to give of this offering, and in doing so, it's preparing our heart, it's revealing our heart, it's an act of obedience, and it's a great hope that it goes well beyond just giving an offering. It goes beyond keeping the Day of Atonement and fasting, but also allows us to more perfectly and more fully follow all of God's commands, all of his testimonies, all of his statutes in our lives, ultimately leading to a perfectly changed heart that God can use for all eternity. So you see where King David led and inspired Israel. This impacted the hearts of his people to give willingly while humbly acknowledging that they had nothing except that which God had given them. Let's now turn to the final scripture, Deuteronomy chapter 16 and verse 16 and 17. Again, Deuteronomy 16, verse 16. 3 times, or seasons, in a year shall all my males appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, in the feast of unleavened bread, and in the feast of weeks, and in the feast of tabernacles, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord thy God, which he hath given thee. So the offerings that we're going to give today should be a reflection of what is in our hearts. It should be after much consideration to what God has given us. How has he blessed us? And the outpouring of this gift that we've been blessed to be able to give to God, again, should be in proportion to the blessings that we've received. And it's not just our physical blessings, but it's also the spiritual blessings that are in great abundance. So again, in doing this, we must recognize that we have nothing that did not ultimately come from and belong to God. We must willingly and joyfully give from what God has blessed us with. So as we give our offering today, let us look forward to the future when this day of atonement is fulfilled, when the human heart will no longer be under Satan's rule and sway, while also rejoicing in the fact that we have been given that opportunity as God's called out ones now. And just as the free will offerings by King David and Israel were an important part in building the physical temple in the time of Solomon, it is that these offerings, the sacrifice made by us today, is helping to build God's spiritual temple. It's far more important. These offerings are far more important if they come from a right heart, a willing heart, a joyful heart, and a humble heart. It's far more valuable and far more important from that perspective than any physical value that we could give to God. He desires to know that these holy day offerings come, again, from a humble and willing heart while rejoicing before him on this Day of Atonement.